could have your attention. Apparently, there's a Chevy Equinox FS7312, and the engine is still running. Would you please turn to your brown hymnal, number 659. I will read the light print and you may respond with the dark print. But where shall my wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? The deep says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it's not with me. Whence then comes wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? God understands the way to it, and he knows his place. When he gave to the wind its weight and meted out the waters by measure, then he saw it and declared it. He established it and searched it out. And he said to a man, behold, the fear of the Lord. This is wisdom, to impart from evil. Understanding.
Good morning. So nice to see all of you here today. Please take your hymn books, your blue hymn books, and turn to number 43. Christ is our cornerstone as our gathering hymn this morning. We'll sing it. Christ is the reason for us being together. Please stand if you are able.
Thank you.
Good morning, and welcome to all. As far as guests, I've been given one name. A visitor is Greta Savatsky from Paraguay, sister from Anna Savatsky. Könnt ihr bitte aufstehen? Herzlich willkommen. Is there anyone else that wishes to be introduced or somebody has to introduce? Okay. Now we shall go to the announcements. And there's quite a few of them, and I like to quickly go through them because they're all important. Under number 3, Family Ministries invites everyone to stay for our annual homecoming Sunday lunch, September 7th. Please join us for food and fellowship downstairs immediately after the service. Number 4, Sunday school registration will take place on September 28th, with the first class to start October 5th. Thank you to those who have already signed up and up to give of their time and talents to help this year. We still require 3 teachers, 4 teachers assistants, 1 craft person, and 2 people each to assist with the fundraiser for MCC and Christmas concert. If there is anyone that can help out, we really would appreciate it. Thank you. Number 5, we would like to begin an adult Sunday school class, September 28th, using the Being a Faithful Church material from the Mennonite Church Canada. BFC is a discernment process to review biblical perspectives on human sexuality. This material is available on the website. Copies are also available in the church foyer. Should more be required, please contact Liana in the office. Number 6, the Community Kitchen is once again planning to host the clothing fair in November. We ask that you set aside any gently used women's and children's clothing, including winter wear, shoes, boots, which you no longer require. Donation of used toys in good condition are also welcome. Number 7, there are 2 wooden collection boxes secured to the walls at the back of the sanctuary. These boxes are for the Community Mission Fund. Funds collected are used to support people in need living in our community. If you have any extra change in your pocket that you would like to donate to help support this fund, you can do so by placing it in one of the boxes. With thanks from the caregiving ministry team. Then under number 8, which is a little special to me. I have had the, several times I've been to Union Gospel delivering food, leftover food from this congregation. And I've seen these people work there. They're hardworking and they're feeding hundreds of hungry, needy people. So if you have something to spare, we only have 2 more weeks to go with accepting donations for the Union Gospel Mission Thanksgiving every month's program. Donations may be dropped off in the containers marked Union Gospel Mission in the upper foyer of the church and in the education wing. Should you have received the list of items that are expected at the UGM in your bulletin last week, which includes clothing, thank you in advance for your generous support of this program. And number 10, you may have noticed that it's easier to see where your parking spot is this morning. Thanks to Peter Peters and Ernie Jansen for getting the lot clean, painted. We shouldn't have any problem to get in line. One more announcement. I didn't make it in the bulletin. The Pioneer Boys Club meets Monday evenings in the church basement from 7 to 8:30. All boys in grades 1 to 6 are welcome to attend for fun, games, crafts, Bible lessons, and occasional outings. Adult volunteers are also needed and appreciated. Registration and the first club night of the year will take place September 15th. For further details, please contact Phil Franz Morgerton. And now we shall go to sharing. I will start with our church family in hospital, Misericordia Hospital, Margaret and Peter Johnson, Concordia Hospital, Henry Klein. Let us remember and pray for our members in extended care and personal care homes, and also for those who are sick at home. Bethania Personal Care Home, Margaret Berg, Martin Bergen, Agnes Dirksen, John Gunther, Anna Hildebrand, Elizabeth Klassen, Margarete Klassen, Dagmar Redekorp, and Maria Wiens, Donwood Manor, Tina Neustädter, Lyons Manor, Valentine Harder, Maples Personal Care Home, Mary Letkemann and Annie Stein, Resident Dispense, Hildegard Knopf, and Tasha Personal Care Home, Rob Bell. Prayer requests. Number one, Elsa Peters would like to everyone to know that she is on the mend, getting around well at home, and wants to thank you all for the cards, flowers, phone calls, and visits that she has received, both in the hospital and now at home. Number two, Jacob and the rest of our family will be in Toronto from August 24th to the 30th for his next surgery on August 26th. Please continue to keep him in your prayers. We will continue to provide updates on our blog. Thank you for all the support. Phil, Elizabeth, Astrid, and Jacob, Frank Morgerton, Franz Morgerton. One sharing that did not make the bulletin either is Anne-Marie Giesbeck has requested our prayer support. She had a fall on August 19th and ended up with a broken wrist and is going for surgery on Monday, August 25th. Please pray for a successful surgery. And the Lord lay his healing hands on Anne-Marie and give her comfort and strength as she recovers. Is there anyone else that would like to share a personal story or, okay? Okay.
Anne-Marie got a call late Friday that she should be at Concordia Hospital Saturday morning at 9. I took her there. She had her surgery. All went well. Coming home isn't sure whether it'll be today or tomorrow because she lives alone. Physio has to work with her first. But she would thank everybody for continued prayer support.
Thank you. Anyone else?
It's typically appropriate that Carol is ahead of me, but this time we'll swap that around. In the prayer of God's people, we bring what's on our hearts to God. And we take our bulletin in front of us and we look at those who are ill and those who are going through difficult times in life, and that is very appropriate. And we look at our church program and we say, what's going on? And let's hold this before God, and that is appropriate as well. But as God's people, we also look into our larger world. Now, many of you have been watching the news. Well, you always watch the news. And there are very troubling things going on in our world. We see things going on in Gaza, for instance. We sit there and we shake our heads and we don't understand how people can be so disrespectful of life. At least that's how it appears to us. Or if we take a look at ISIS and what's going on in Iran, or Iraq rather, and Syria and some other places, it just makes us shake our heads in pain, which is an appropriate response for the people of God. And so I mention that because we come before God not thinking there's some conspiracy going on. We come before God because we truly believe that God's hand is in the world. And we believe that we need to care. And we believe we need to hold this up before God in prayer. And we believe that we need to support those who are going to respond. In your bulletins under the MCC section, there are some responses that MCC is doing in the situation in Gaza, at least. As you watch the news, remember that God is there. Hurting is appropriate. We hurt so that we bring this before God as individuals and as God's people. So let's keep those things in mind as we pray. Would you bow with me as we pray? God, we come before you recognizing that you are in fact God. We come before you believing that you care deeply about us, about our church, about our city, our country, and about your world. There's nobody who falls outside of that. And so as we come to you and worship you, you give us a heart to care for your world as well. And we are glad for that. Sometimes we ache deeply and have trouble sleeping. But in the midst of that, we recognize that you hold our hand and that things will be okay. There are people from the church that we have talked about today already. We pray that you would be with Peter and Margaret Jensen in Misericordia, with Henry Klein in Concordia, with Anna Marie as well. We've talked about those who are on the mend, and we ask that you would be with Elsa Peters as she recuperates. We pray for Jacob. Sometimes we wonder why a little guy like that has to go through so much. And yet as we watch his positive attitude and that of his family, we are moved and humbled to think about how we deal with the struggles we have in life. So be with them. Be with Jacob, especially on the 26th as he goes for his surgery. God, as we come before you, we recognize our shortcomings as well. And so we ask that you would forgive us. Forgive us for times when we have been less than you have called us to be, less than you have created us to be in the way that we have responded to others and to situations in our world. Thank you for the forgiveness that you bring. We've mentioned our world situation. God, we sit and shake our head as we look around at what's going on. It looks so unnecessary, so pointless. And we wonder how you must ache as you see and know deeply and dearly each of those people who pass away. We think of the children who and the people not involved in the conflict have no choice in the matter, whose lives are snuffed out or at very least whose lives become very difficult. And we know, God, that you ache as well. So be with the situation there. Bring wisdom to the leaders that they would stop this madness. Be with also those who are going from an international perspective, international leaders, that you would give them strength of character and wisdom to respond to the situation also. We are grateful for those who have gone in your name to respond, to bring aid to those who are hurting, but also to try and bring an end to this. We ask that you would give them strength as they respond. We come this morning, God, recognizing who you are, who you have called us to be, and we come this morning to recommit ourselves to follow your way. Fill us with joy in the midst of all of this, for you are our God, and we are your people.
Let's continue our prayer with number 545, Be Thou My Vision. Here we're asking God to be the source of our wisdom and guidance. Let's sing verse 1, 2, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
So do we have some children with us this morning that would like to come to the front? All right, great to see you. I was almost going to call down the young adults to join me if there were no children. Hi, how are you doing? Great. Full of energy. I like that. You doing good too?
Yeah, you too.
Okay, so I have there's a word that we're going to talk about today. I want to ask if you know what it is. Do you know what wisdom is?
Nope.
Well, let's break it down a little bit. Do you know what the root word in there? Wise. Do you know what it means to be wise? Well, wise is a little different than smart. Let me tell you a story to tell you the difference between. When I was, 8 or 9, my brother and I decided we'd like to ride our bicycles in winter. That was before they invented winter tires for bicycles. So when we tried to ride, we had no traction. They would just spin. So my brother was a smart guy. He said, we'll take some bang-a-bone, some binder twine, and we'll wrap it around the rim, and when we pedal, we'll have traction. And you know what? It worked. So we got on our bicycles and we started pedaling and off we went. But we forgot about something. What happens when you start going fast on an icy road? We slipped, absolutely. And we landed up on our heads. So my brother was very smart, not too wise. Well, now he's very wise, but at that time. So, do any of you know everything? Do you know everything?
I slipped in camp.
You slipped in camp? Oh, are you okay now? I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, we all slip and fall once in a while. There's a theological statement. So, do any of you know everything? Do you know everything?
Nope.
So what do you do if you need to know something and don't know it? You do nothing, you can go to Google, right? Google knows lots and lots of things, don't they? So, if you're plumbing and you don't know how to hook something up, you can go to Google or on YouTube and you can see a picture of how they do it, right? But sometimes that's just not enough and you don't know, and so what do you do then? You read it, and then you call Ernie Jansen. And you say, Ernie, can you come down and show me how this works? And Ernie says, sure. And he comes down and he says, oh, this is different than YouTube. And he shows you, he's a wise plumber, right? So we have people in our church who are doctors and lawyers and plumbers and electricians and architects and lots of things. And when we need to know things, we go to them because they not only are smart, they're wise as well. So today we're going to talk about being wise and when we go to people. Now, sometimes we want to know things about what God is teaching us. Where do we go things for that? We go to the Bible. Very good. And sometimes when we don't quite understand the Bible, we can talk to our parents or a Sunday school teacher or your grandparents. There's lots of wise people. Mr. Jake Clausen is a wise person. We can ask him questions about what God means in the Bible too, right? And hopefully on Sunday morning, once in a while, I share a few things that help us in that regard. So that's what we want to talk about. Sometimes we need other people. Guess what? As you people get older, you're getting not only smarter, you're getting wiser. You slipped and fell. You probably won't do that again, will you? Well, not the same way. We learn things, and then we can teach other people, and you become wise, and you help other people to live not only in life, but also as people who love to follow Jesus. So, let's pray, and then you can head back, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for all the things that you teach us through your Bible and through other people. Thank you that you love us very much and want us to follow you. Help us to teach others the things that we learn too. Amen. You can hit back now.
God in his wisdom has offered us grace, marvelous grace. Please turn to number 151. and stand if you're able.
Hope it wasn't too uncomfortable. The scripture reading will be done a little bit different today. When I received this particular video a couple of weeks ago, it just hit me and actually spoke to me, and it had a personal meaning. It is called The Wife of a Noble Character from Proverbs 31:10-31. Let's hear now, please. For me, this special lady is here today. Without her wisdom and compassion, I would not be here. For many others, it could be someone from the past or present, a mother, wife, or even a future wife-to-be. I think that the Lord uses the Holy Spirit to communicate his wisdom through people, either by their actions or words, to speak to us. After I saw this video, I got a little bit curious and wanted to know about Proverbs 31, 1 to 9, which are not shown, which I will read to you now. The sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance his mother taught him. Listen, my son, listen, son of my womb. Listen, my son, the answer to my prayers. Do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer. Lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Let beer be for those who are perishing, wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. May the Lord bless Pastor Gary's message this morning.
I think this is one of the few passages where the author comes from Manitoba. She's not afraid of snow. I mean, who else can say that, right? I want to make one comment before we take a look at the passage about the Sunday school. In the back, you saw the Sunday school sign-up. I hope you saw the Sunday school sign-up sign. And we do want to make this a church exercise. And there is a place for everyone. There's a sign-up there for prayer. And we'd love to have you sign up. And what we'd like to do is, on a regular basis, for those who sign up, we'll send you a note about who's involved in Sunday school and some of the specific prayer requests that we have. And this way, you are actively involved with our Sunday school program, even though perhaps being involved as a teacher or in playing the music or whatever doesn't work. We still want you involved. So please sign up. There are 6 slots. We would be happy to have 60 of you sign up so that we can keep you informed. It allows you also a sense of ownership for that program. Okay, the passage. Life is good. Sometimes we spend a lot of time looking at our feet and we forget that. But life is good. We have enough to eat, some of us a little more than that. We have a place to live. Some of us are fortunate enough to own our place, and some have more than one place to live. We have health care. We have old age security. We have, many of us, most of us, have friends around us that care about us and help us, work with us. We have a church to go to. There are so many things we could add to that. Life is good. But just because the tree is lined with, the street rather is lined with palm trees doesn't mean there aren't any potholes. Just because life is good doesn't mean we don't have struggles. And we do. Let me list a few. Some of our struggles are linked to health issues. Some people have diseases which take away from life what we wish could be there. Some have situations, mental illness. Some have addictions which drag us in places we don't want to go. Some of us are getting older. And it's the joints and it's the old ticker, and we don't hear as well or see as well. We don't remember the same as we used to. Did I just say that? Yeah. Some of the potholes come from our world, and I've mentioned those a few minutes ago. As followers of Jesus, we want to care for everyone around us. And we had the food bank here at our church last week. And that makes us ache a little bit that there are people who need that. We are aware of the violence that goes on in our city and the violence in our world. And that keeps us up at night sometimes, and it should. And the question we ask is, as followers of Jesus, how do we do this? We have so much and some have so little. How do we put this together? And that's a struggle that we should never finish struggling with. Some of the potholes come from others. They dig them in our path. There are people that we love dearly that disappoint us sometimes. There are people who have a sense of responsibility and should act in a certain way, and they don't. There are people who we should be able to look at as role models, and they stumble and fall. And we look at this and say, what's going on? There are people who hurt our feelings. There are people who are unkind to us, who say things to us that they shouldn't. And you know the rest of that list. Sometimes others dig the potholes in our path. And sometimes we dig them ourselves. Sometimes it's decisions of the past that come back to haunt us. A lifestyle that we chose, or going or not going to school, or how we chose to use our finances. Things we've said, things we've done, and we live with them as we get older. And sometimes it's things in an ongoing way. Sometimes I let my anger make decisions for me, or my sense of feeling sorry for myself. And as I've said before, that's always a choice. And I sometimes make that choice. Sometimes I say things I wish I hadn't. Do you ever go to like a church meeting and something in there is getting under your skin and it just kind of, and all of a sudden, poof, you stand up and you say things and it's not out of your mouth and you go, why did I do that? And now you not only have to deal with the thing that bothered you, you've got to deal with all the people come to see you and saying, oh, well, are you okay? And how are things going? And I'm sorry. And you just want to say to them, oh, just quit it already. And we live with the consequences of that. And some of the things that we say and do are much bigger. And again, you know them all. So how do we respond? There we are. Life is good, but we've got potholes in front of us. How do we manage this? With wisdom. We manage wisdom. Wisdom helps us to negotiate what's in front of us so that we can enjoy the gift of life that God has come to bring us. Life is a gift. Every day, every minute is a gift. And we've been invited to receive that gift and embrace it. So what is wisdom? Every religious group, every philosophical understanding has their own definition of what wisdom is. But basically, as I said to the kids, it's more than just knowledge. Typically, wisdom will encapsulate knowledge and understanding and experience and pull it together in a way that makes sense in our life so that what we do lines up with what we believe. Following Jesus, not riding your bicycle in winter with binder twine on the tires. Wisdom is something which pulls together everything at our disposal to help us live in a way that we feel is right. In the Bible we read that God is a source of wisdom, that God personifies wisdom. In the Old Testament, in fact, wisdom is personified as a woman, she. That's appropriate, isn't it? In our relationship, it is. In the Old Testament, we see wisdom as following the way of God. Obey the laws of God. We already heard that in one of the songs. Obey the laws of God and you will be wise. That is how you reflect wisdom. As we come into the New Testament, we see Jesus personifying the wisdom of God. Jesus becomes a source and the image of wisdom. And as we look back on his knowledge, on his experience, on his understanding, at the time people said, why are you doing this? The religious people, we look back and said, whoa, that was amazingly brilliant. It's wisdom, right? And that's why we continue to come back to Jesus as a source of understanding for life. As we read through the Gospels, and into the writings of Paul and so forth, we see wisdom shown, it sort of sharpens it a bit. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 says, there's wisdom of the world and there's a wisdom of God. They're different. Both of them employ understanding and knowledge and experience, but in the world, wisdom is that which leads you to the goals that you're looking for, which is power and wealth and recognition and those kinds of things. As followers of Jesus, wisdom means living life as God sets it in front of us. He goes on in chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians to say, like the cross of Christ, absolute foolishness to the people of the world. Why would you throw your life away like that? What is the benefit of dying on the cross? Why don't you get out there and make people listen to you with an army or something? And as Christians, we look at the cross as the ultimate act of wisdom. Because in that act of love, Jesus overcame all of the things inside of us which want to conquer and our need for being in charge. And he brings us forgiveness. Well, you know the rest of that. We'll leave that for now. But even in this, wisdom is more than accumulated knowledge. 1 Corinthians 13 makes that very clear. What does he say? If you understand everything about love, and if you're all that, and you don't show it, it's a waste of time. Wisdom reflects in our life the things that we have learned that we gain through our experience in others. So where do we gain wisdom? Well, James chapter 1 verse 5. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him come, or her, come to God, who's the source of wisdom. And when you read that verse, it's fascinating. It seems like it doesn't matter what's going on in your life or how messed up you are or how put together you are, that God gives wisdom to all who asks. Wonderful. Very inviting. We find wisdom as we come to God's word, because there we see the words of God in explaining how to live. There's wisdom literature in the Bible. In the Old Testament, it would be Ecclesiastes, and Job and Proverbs. In the New Testament, the Beatitudes are classified as wisdom literature, and the book of James, which may be why some of us don't like it. We want to do things our own way. But Scripture is a place of wisdom. Remember, if any of you took Pioneer Girls, I don't know if it's in Pioneer Boys as well, one of their key verses is from Psalm 119:105. Your word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path, or the other way around. Suggesting that God's word shines light on our life. It gives us wisdom to know how to live. We see the same thing in the New Testament, verses like Hebrews 4:12, where it says the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It helps us figure out what's going on in life. It's very wise. Or the passage where Paul is talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, where he says, Scripture is there for our use. It helps us put life together. It's a fairly loose paraphrase. Another way we find wisdom is through the Holy Spirit. That as we pray, that through the Spirit, God gives us wisdom. There's a poster, I think it's hanging in the foyer from Acts 15. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. I love that phrase. The Holy Spirit helps us understand. There's a third way we understand wisdom, and that's through other people, which is where we're going with this passage. And no, that doesn't mean the sermon's going to be another 3/4 of an hour. Don't worry. In Proverbs, which Ingo showed and read to us, we see two pictures of very wise people, both of them women. The first one is Lemuel's mother and advisor. And so she comes to him with some wisdom. Lemuel, she says, don't get mixed up with wild women and wine. Bad idea. Now, he has the possibility of doing that. He's a king. And some people think that Lemuel is King Solomon. In fact, the Midrash, Jewish Midrash suggests that. And if that's the case, he didn't listen well because the wild women are what got Solomon. But so she's telling him, don't do this even if you can. It's not good for you. And then she says, and as king, you have a responsibility. The poor and the powerless, they need you. So pay attention and look after them. The next passage from 10 to 31 is a picture of the ultimate businesswoman. Fascinating picture. This person who, she just sort of has everything put together, doesn't she? Just love that. And it's not meant to make anybody feel guilty. It's just meant to say, this is a picture of wisdom. So she works like crazy from morning till late, and yet she balances time with her family. She's an entrepreneur to the max, investing in all sorts of stuff, but she still takes time for the poor. And you see this balance as you read through this passage, and there's wisdom reflected in the character. We want to pick out King Lemuel, because that's us. The question is, where do we find wisdom? Who do you go to, assuming that you've read your Bible and you've been praying, who do you go to as a source of wisdom in your life? I want you to think about that. In fact, that's your homework for lunch today. Whoever you're having lunch with, I want you to talk about that. Who is it that you go to who reflects wisdom for you, helps you to negotiate the potholes between the palm trees so that you can embrace life? I'd like to mention a few in my life that have been very significant, very quickly. My mother-in-law, her name was Dorothy. She was my Sunday school teacher when I was 8. She was so important, I finally married her daughter to keep her close. And what Dorothy taught me was you can bring together, she was a wonderful, wise person. She was hardworking and people looked up to her. You can bring together life and faith seamlessly. And she did. She lived out her faith, and everybody who knew her knew that she was a Christian. It just kind of happened. It wasn't like she was looking for a pause and says, have you heard of the four spiritual laws or whatever? It just was there. She just lived her faith. Now the person, as I mentioned in the children's story about a month ago, is my father. My father was a person who taught me about how to deal with and respect others. He had absolutely no time for people who were pretentious. But he did have time for people who were real. And it didn't matter what background they were, what age they were, what religion they were, what race they were from. He dragged them all home for lunch. Thank you very much, said Martha, my mother. And he had time for them. And he taught me to embrace people, to respect people. Another person was one of my seminary profs. Mildred Lind was his name. Some of you may know him. I think I may have told the story, so I'll just give you a very brief version. I handed in a paper, had not been done well because I was busy. He gave me an A. I went to see him and said, Mildred, that's not an A paper. He said, looked me in the eye and said, I know what you're capable of. And he got A papers from then on. But he taught me in his wisdom to treat people according to who they are, not the way they present themselves, because all of us present ourselves not at our best sometimes. And once in a while, when you meet people who look you in the eye and treat you better than you act, because they believe that's who you are, what a gift. And that's the source of wisdom I received from him. Another was another person I have mentioned here before. His name was Bill. Bill, who lived in Saskatoon, he was a schizophrenic. Half the time his meds weren't working and he lived on the street. And you know what he taught me? Gentleness. You won't believe it, right? Every once in a while when things got overwhelming in the church office and there was too many problems, I'd drive down the streets in Saskatoon looking for Bill and I'd take him for coffee. I was doing my pastorly duty. Yeah, right. I was looking for a person who always treated me well, who was grateful for anything. I'd pick him up and I'd say, Bill, let me take you for coffee. He said, Gary, you paid the last 15 times and I don't have any money, so we can't go for coffee. I says, Bill, I'll buy it for your birthday. You did that already, he said. It's for Christmas 7 years from now. Okay, he said. Thank you very much. And I'd go for coffee and I'd deal with a person who was content in life. In the midst of the mess that his life was, I learned wisdom from him. I learned wisdom from Carol. It's a wisdom of kindness. Many of you have experienced that as she interacts with you. It's the thoughtful things she does, always finishing through. If you've ever received a card that says something and it says Gary and Carol Martins, you know exactly where it came from. It's calligraphy. It's not me. And I've been learning wisdom from you. Many of you, as I've interacted with you, have shown me bits and pieces of God. And as I listen to you and watch you, I'm moved and challenged and encouraged. Now, here's the problem with this. When we begin to see people as wise, we all of a sudden move from, they've got something to teach me, to they're perfect. And it doesn't work. And so you may have experienced this. There are people in your life who have been really influential and they've taught you things. And then all of a sudden they do something crazy and you said, I thought you were. And you know what? They were. We look to people to be God. They show us a little blip of God here and there. That's how they show us wisdom. And so we need to allow God to work through human beings and allow people to be people. And I'll tell you something. Everybody's going to disappoint us somewhere along the way. And if I haven't disappointed you, I'm sure I will sometime. You listened to a sermon and said, why did he do that? He should have gone here with it. That would have been a way wiser thing to do. And it probably would have been. So come up here and join me then. We need to be careful that we do not place too much on people. They are simply people. One more point that needs to be made for the sermon. King Lemuel got the wild women and wine talk from his mother. That's the things he shouldn't do, right? But he got another part, and what was that? You're the king. Your responsibility is to look after the ones who are in need of help. You don't have to. In fact, you could probably cut taxes if you get away with all the social programs. But that's your responsibility as a king. You need to do that. You need to exercise wisdom in the way you live. I am a child, a brother, a spouse, a father, a pastor, a neighbor, and each one of those brings with it responsibilities. And I need to make sure that I recognize as I go through life, I have responsibilities. And there are people who look to me for guidance and direction and stability and a few other things, and I need to do that. There's nothing sadder than seeing someone that you respect just let loose with a tirade or do something really inappropriate. It's so sad. And it's not necessary. And so I realize while we make mistakes, we all need to take seriously the responsibilities that come with the roles that we carry and share wisdom with those who look up to us. So there we are. Life is great. It's a gift. There are potholes, and we need to exercise wisdom that comes from God through His Word, His Spirit, and from others. We need to exercise wisdom so that we can enjoy life. And we need to reflect wisdom so that people who look to us can, like us, navigate the potholes in the road and enjoy the gift of life that is from God. May God give us wisdom as we seek to follow Him. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnals to number 488, Strong Son of God, Immortal Love. This is possibly unfamiliar to you, as it was to me, but there's great poetry in all the words. It encourages us to work at our Christian life by strengthening our knowledge and our faith. Today we'll sing verse 1, 4, and 5, and we'll stay seated for this one.
Strong Son of God, immortal love.
Would you please stand for the benediction if you're able, and then remain standing for the closing song. And now as you go forth, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Number 420, Heart with Loving Heart United, as our sending song.